Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again, we come into your presence to pray, to listen to you, to talk with you, to ask what you want of me, to say with that prophet, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," or, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will, but what is your will for me? Help me to grow in intimate friendship with you." And you ask Simon Peter after the resurrection, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Lord, each one of us can take that question as addressed personally to us, calling us by our first name because you know us. You ask, "Do you love me?" And we ask ourselves, "Do I love you? Do I really love you? And why should I love you? Because you love me first. So much did God love the world that he sent his only begotten Son. You are God who became man for me." As St. Paul writes to the Galatians in the second chapter, speaking of you, he says, "who loved me and gave himself up for me." This poor sinner that I am, you loved me and you love me, and you have gone ahead to prepare for me a place in heaven. St. John writes in his first letter about the love of God, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins." And Lord, that is love, that you, the Creator, you, God Almighty, you who are infinite love, should love this poor creature, this sinful creature that I am. But you do. And you call us to love you. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and soul and mind and strength." But you didn't need to tell us to do that. Once we understand who you are and how much you love us, we are naturally inclined to love you. And as St. John Paul II wrote on a number of occasions, we have an innate vocation to love. Man was made for love. In his first encyclical, Redemptor Hominis, he wrote, "Man cannot live without love. He remains a being that is incomprehensible for himself. His life is senseless if love is not revealed to him, if he does not encounter love, if he does not experience it and make it his own, if he does not participate intimately in it." And we all understand that. We want to love, and we want to be loved. We have that innate vocation to love. As John Paul II will say in his apostolic exhortation on the Christian family, Familiaris Consortio, "God created man in his own image and likeness, calling him to existence through love, he called him at the same time for love. Creating the human race in his own image and continually keeping it in being, God inscribed in the humanity of man and woman the vocation and thus the capacity and responsibility of love and communion. Love is therefore the fundamental and innate vocation of every human being. And if we simply pause to consider that, Lord, you created us in your image and likeness, and if, as St. John tells us, God is love, and we were created in the image of God, we are created in the image of love, and we are called to love and to be loved, and in love we find meaning. But again, we come back to that question, you love me, but how much do I love you? I want to grow in love, to be a person in love, because people in love are happy. They're often over the moon. They are feeling and experiencing that romance. And we should all have a romance with you, because you loved us, as Pope Benedict pointed out in his first encyclical, God is Love. God loves us with both that romantic love of Eros, the feeling, the passion that draws the beloved into himself, and also God loves us with that love of Agape. And as Pope Benedict points out, the Eros is purified and elevated by Agape, by that self-giving, sacrificial love. And Lord, you died on the cross. No greater love does a man have than that he lay down his life for his friends. And you went beyond that. You are God, and you laid down your life for your enemies, for us who were estranged from you. We want to live in love. We want to be those happy people. We want to spread your love in the world. And you need us to do that. You call the apostles. You form them well. You sent them out. And you send me out. You send all Christians out to be your witnesses to those around us. And it is so needed today. So few Christians, so few Catholics go regularly to Mass, really know you and love you. And who will help them? Someone like me, like each one of us, who knows you better, who wants to grow in friendship with you. We can be your witnesses, but for that, we must have a deep personal relationship with you. Pope Francis, in his apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, says, I invite all Christians everywhere at this very moment to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ, or at least an openness to letting him encounter them. I ask all of you to do this unfailingly each day. And he's speaking about coming to that personal encounter with you so that we can grow in friendship with you, in love with you. And Pope Francis goes on, no one should think that this invitation is not meant for him or her, since no one is excluded from the joy brought by the Lord. The Lord does not disappoint those who take this risk. Whenever we take a step towards Jesus, we come to realize that he is already there, waiting for us with open arms. Now is the time to say to Jesus, Lord, I have let myself be deceived. In a thousand ways I have shunned your love. Yet here I am once more to renew my covenant with you. I need you. Save me once again, Lord. Take me once more into your redeeming embrace. We all can say those words. We have let ourselves be deceived. We have drifted away, perhaps only a little bit or very much. But you are waiting for us. We need you. Save us once again, Lord. Take us into your redeeming embrace. And the Pope goes on, how good it feels to come back to him whenever we are lost. Let me say this once more. And he says those words, let me say this once more, because what he's going to say immediately afterwards, he said several times in the days following his election as Pope. Let me say this once more, God never tires of forgiving us. We are the ones who tire of seeking his mercy. And Lord, you are always there. Let us come to you to seek your mercy. And the Pope goes on, Christ, who told us to forgive one another 70 times 7, has given us his example. He has forgiven us 70 times 7. Time and again, he bears us on his shoulders. No one can strip us of the dignity bestowed upon us by this boundless and unfailing love, with a tenderness which never disappoints, but is always capable of restoring our joy. He makes it possible for us to lift up our heads and to start anew. Let us not flee from the resurrection of Jesus. Let us never give up, come what will. May nothing inspire more than his life, which impels us onwards. That personal relationship, Lord, with you, that fills us with meaning, that fills us with your love, fills us with your grace, makes us more effective witnesses to you in this world that is looking for you because it's looking for happiness, and only you can truly satisfy the human heart. And how will we do this? By having regular times each day to spend with you. Regular times. Just as we have regular times for those human activities that we regard as important, and they are. We have regular times for meals. We have regular times for sleep. Regular times to relax and enjoy ourselves. Regular times for exercise. All of these are important. We need to look after our body. We need to look after our health. But as the Curie of Ars said so often to the people in his church, you do so much to look after your body. What are you doing for your soul? And let us never forget that this body will be buried one day and will decompose, but our soul lives on unto eternity. All the more should we be looking after our soul. And what sort of encounters can we have with you each day where we make a plan to find you, to deal with you, to love you? It can begin by getting out of bed on time in the morning, to begin well, what St. Jose Maria calls in the way the heroic minute, to get up on the dot. And then we are starting well. The Curie of Ars says that the devil once said, if he could have the first minute of the day, he was assured of all the rest. But how often do we stay in bed when the alarm goes off and give the devil the first victory as we start our day late and not feeling on top of things. But when we get out of bed, we have won that first battle. We are off to a good start. And then after getting out of bed, the morning offering. We can't begin our day without talking with you, praying, speaking with you, offering to you this day all of our prayers and works, joys and sufferings, and asking your grace to do your will throughout the day. Whatever you are asking of me this day, Lord, help me to fulfill it, because sanctity consists in doing your will with love. And so we are now beginning the day well, having started it on time, having spent a short time in prayer at the beginning, in that morning offering, and whatever other prayers we want to say. And then another important pillar of our spiritual life, if we can do it, is to get to Mass, certainly on Sundays, but as often as we can during the week too. Because, Lord, where do we encounter you more intimately than in Mass? In that sacrifice of Calvary made present on the altar, in the company of the other people in the church, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them, in the readings where you speak to us, in those love letters that the scriptures are, in the homily that the priest may give, where he will point out some aspect of those readings that we can take home with us, that helps us to grow spiritually, and above all, in Holy Communion. If we seek union with you, there is no more intimate union with you on earth than Holy Communion. And as you said in the synagogue of Capernaum, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. Lord, we become one with you. It is truly communion. It is an anticipation of heaven, where we will be one with you. Help us to go to Mass as often as we can. What a help this is in growing in our spiritual life. And then another form of encounter with you, meditation or mental prayer. What we are doing now, we are talking with you, we are listening to you. It is very much a personal prayer. And what should we pray about? Whatever. About ourselves, our spiritual life, our relationships with people around us, about the various virtues that we want to grow in, like humility, cheerfulness, industriousness, kindness, all the virtues. We can pray with the scriptures, to take a passage from the Bible and pray and to see how much you have to tell us in those few words. We can pray with the readings from Mass. It's a very good way to do our prayer, taking the readings from the Mass of the day, going over them very slowly in what we call Lectio Divina, literally divine reading, simply praying with the scriptures. When we pray with the scriptures, when we spend time with them, reading them slowly and meditating on them, how much more we see in them than when we simply read them. And how long should our meditation be? In this meditation that we are now doing, it will be about a half hour. But if we simply committed ourselves to do some 15 minutes, a short time, it would help us so much. And it helps too to take some reading matter, some spiritual reading book that we like, to pray with what we are reading, the scriptures as we said, some reading that can stimulate our prayer. We read for a few minutes, then we stop and pray. Those works of St. Jose Maria that were written especially for mental prayer, with very short points that we can read and pause to consider. Those books of the Way, Furrow, and The Forge. And for how long? Some 15 minutes. We can manage that time. We can find 15 minutes to watch television, read the newspaper, perhaps talk on the phone with our friends. We can find that time to spend with the best friend, who are you. And we should commit ourselves to this act of piety. If we simply leave it up to, I'll see what happens, I would like to do it, if I get the opportunity, I will do it, we won't do it. We need to commit ourselves. As Pope John Paul II said in Ireland in 1979, we get so absorbed in the work of the Lord that we forget the Lord of the work. We must find time, we must make time to be with the Lord in prayer. And Lord, help us to do that, to make the time to hold ourselves to it, so that we have that very personal encounter with you, which is mental prayer. And then another form of relationship with you, spiritual reading. How helpful spiritual reading is. In all of these other forms of prayer, it is we who go out to you, but in reading, you come to us. And we need that daily nourishment, that spiritual food for our soul, that give us new ideas, new approaches to our spiritual life. Spiritual reading has made many saints, they say. And what should we read? We can go back to those classics, the Confessions of Saint Augustine, the Imitation of Christ, the Introduction to the Devout Life by Saint Francis de Sales, the writings of Saint Teresa of Avila, of Saint John of the Cross, the life of Saint Therese of Lisieux. And we come into the 20th century and so many contemporary writers deep in spirituality that help us, that we find some time for spiritual reading too. And perhaps between spiritual reading and reading of the New Testament, we can spend another 15 minutes. And then the Angelus at noon, or perhaps at 6 in the morning and 6 in the evening. That brief prayer where we consider the Annunciation of the angel to Our Lady, and Lord, you are becoming flesh. A short prayer that punctuates the day, that stops us at noon, and then we begin the afternoon with more presence of God. And then, of course, the Rosary, the Marian prayer par excellence, as Pope Paul VI said in his document Martialis Cultus in the early 70s. A Marian prayer, but as Pope Paul VI pointed out too, a Christological prayer, a prayer about Christ. Because when we consider it, those 20 mysteries of the Rosary are the mysteries of your life, your infancy in the joyful mysteries, your public life in the mysteries of light, your passion and death in the sorrowful mysteries, your resurrection, ascension into heaven, and glorification in the glorious mysteries. We are praying about you. And as Paul VI pointed out in that document, we consider the life of Christ through the eyes of Mary. And Lord, you are there in every Hail Mary too. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. It is a Marian prayer in the Hail Marys. It is a Christological prayer in the life of you that we consider. And the Rosary too is both vocal prayer in the sense of prayers with a fixed formula, but also mental prayer. Because while we say those mysteries, we contemplate them, we meditate on those mysteries of your life, and we can derive so much from that contemplation. And then we come to the end of the day, and always the examination of conscience. That brief pause of a few minutes to look back over this day, which is still fresh in our minds, and to ask, did I do your will? I asked you in the morning to help me do your will. Did I fulfill your will? And we should examine particular areas. Areas like the fulfillment of our plan of daily spiritual activities. Did I fulfill all of these norms of piety that I set for myself? But also, how did I fulfill them? We are not in the business of ticking boxes to say, yes, I did my mental prayer, I went to Mass, I said the Rosary, but to find you, to encounter you in those acts. St. Francis de Sales says in a sermon, those are spiritually greedy who never have enough of exercises of devotion, so keen are they say, to attain perfection, as if perfection consisted in the number of things we do and not in the perfection with which we do them. God has not made perfection to lie in the number of acts we do to please him, but in the way in which we do them. That way is to do the little we have to do according to our calling, that is to do it in love, through love, and for love. And so in our examination of conscience, we should ask, and how did I pray? How did I attend that Mass? How did I say that rosary? With what love did I do all of those acts? And then not only to examine ourselves on our plan of spiritual activities, to examine ourselves on charity. Did I live patience, kindness with all those around me, in my family, in my place of work or study, on the roads, in shops? Whenever I encountered someone, did I show them the love of Christ? And we can examine ourselves on our use of time. Did I use my time well today? Or maybe did I waste it? Did I do something that was useful but not what you wanted me to do, which was more useful in your service? And then the spirit of penance. After all, you invited us. If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Have I taken up my cross daily today? Some acts of self-denial, and also bearing well the crosses that you send me because you love me. That headache, that tiredness, those interruptions to my work, those people that got on my nerves. We can live those well, and they too are mortifications, passive mortifications. And then we might examine ourselves on whether we helped somebody today to come closer to God, whether it was by praying with them, by speaking to them about God, about life after death, about family, about the meaning of life. It is very good to try every day to speak with somebody about God. After all, Lord, you have given us a greater understanding, a greater love for you. Others don't have that. We cannot take our talent and bury it. We must make it bear fruit. And whatever other questions we want to ask ourselves, very particular aspects of our own life, that we do, though, that daily examination of conscience, which only takes a few minutes. And then perhaps three Hail Marys before we go to bed, a very popular custom, that we pray those Hail Marys, asking for our own purity and for that of others. And then we go to bed and hopefully fall asleep praying, giving thanks for this day, asking your grace for the following day. And as I once heard someone say, if you can't sleep, you're suffering from insomnia, don't count the sheep, talk with the shepherd. We fall asleep talking with the shepherd, with you, falling asleep, praying. And Lord, help us to come closer to you because you have come close to us, to love you because you have loved us first, so that we can live in that innate vocation to love, find the meaning in our own life, grow in holiness, which consists in love of God, and help many others. And Mary, our mother, you had your own plan of daily prayers as a good Jewess. Help us to fall in love with your Son by being faithful to our own plan, to grow in holiness, to grow in love, to help many others to find Jesus. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org. www.fatherflatterblog.au.